sermon this morning, it would be more fruit, more freedom. And some things happened yesterday. Monty did a men's meeting. If you come to these men's meetings, I'm telling you, praise God, they're good. I mean, it was a really all he. I've seen him when he started out, you know, and he's kind of a theologian type person, you know. I mean, just, you know, and then I seen him move from that into greater anointings as he went and leadings of the Holy Spirit, praise God, and the anointing has increased, you know, ever since he stepped up and started doing the men's meeting. I've watched it. I know the difference. I know the anointing and all that. So you men, I mean, if you can invite, and I'm inviting other people. I told one church yesterday, I told that one guy, I told him, I said, we have a men's meeting, you know, every second Saturday. I said, Teggy Church. I said, and they're more than welcome to come on out. I said, I said, the Lord is raising up kingdom men. You know, I said, and we'll take our place and we'll move forward and walk under the anointing God's already got for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you can come to that and invite people, praise the Lord. Even teenagers, it's good to bring teenagers. Praise God. They're getting the Word of God. How many knows the Word of God is not limited on age or any of that, praise God. The Word of God is alive, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes down and it does things inside of a man or a woman, praise God, and brings out fruit of the kingdom. But I was thinking about, you know, I go down, I call them the guys. They have a Bible study at a Double B, and most of them's out of Redeemed, the Redeemed Ministry down there. And I've been going down there for a year or so, not every Saturday, but when I can, I go down there. They meet at 8 o'clock. And, I mean, every now and then, when the Lord allows, I'll give a nugget. Well, I told this story a year or so ago, I was telling them after I got born again, they call them today wife beater shirts, you know, the goes way down, you know, see your manhood, all that stuff. Well, I wore those shirts, you know, back when I got saved. That's what I wore in the summertime, you know. They were white, and I called them muscle shirts, you know. And they call them wife beaters today and everything. And so I told the story how that the Lord, I'd been saved maybe about 5 or 6 months, and all of a sudden I've started feeling convicted. I felt like I shouldn't be wearing those shirts, you know, and everything. That was the Holy Spirit. Well, I told that story, and I've never wore them since. I've tried them on, and I feel plumb out of place, you know, just, you know, wearing that, you know. Well, I told the story a year or so ago down there, and yesterday I was down there, and I was telling about, I told about how that I was reading the Bible where Jesus said, love your enemies. And I was about probably 4, 5, 6 months old in the Lord. And I'm standing in my living room and I shut that Bible and I said, I don't like that. I didn't know that was in there, you know. And love your enemies. And I hated some folk then, you know. And some folk hated me, I'm sure, you know, vice versa. And so I shut that Bible. And every time I would go to pray, you know, I would think about that, to love your enemies. And I'd be like, man, I wish Satan leave me alone with this, you know, and all that. But it wasn't Satan, see. And one day when I started to pray, I was trying to talk to the Lord, didn't even know how to pray or anything like that. Didn't know what I know now. And, you know, and that thought come again. And then the Holy Spirit, which I didn't even know could talk to you, I'd never been taught. I've been to church on and off, and Mom would go every now and then, and, you know, and I mean, I've been around church, but never paid any attention. Didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. All I knew that I'm born again, and I'm reading the Bible. That's what I know I need to do, go to church and read the Bible. You know, I didn't know much, but anyways, I was telling that story how that the Lord dealt with me, and I shut the Bible, and how that the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me, and I'm telling these guys this. He spoke to me, and he said, my word is not to destroy you. My word is not against you. My word, if you will embrace that word, he said, it'll set you free. Jesus said it. The Bible says we will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? I was in bondage to anger, hatred. I was in bondage to the traps the enemy had set and I had yielded to for 27 years. And I was in bondage and didn't know I was in bondage. If you're in anger today, hatred and bitterness in your heart, and you're a Christian, you're in bondage and you don't even realize it. You know, but if you'll embrace the Word of God and choose to love those that have done you wrong, and we don't do this on our own now. We're abiding in Him now. We're relying on Him now. We're relying on that Word. The Lord said His Word will not return void. It will not return back to Him empty. If God is bringing a word to you from the Bible or in prayer or in preaching or hearing preaching, you know, if you'll let it, that word will produce fruit. That word will go in and it will bring freedom to you. It'll bring freedom. Well, you know, I told the Lord, I said, okay, God. I said, and I'm telling these guys, I said, okay, God, I'm going to choose to love my enemies. I can't see how I can do that. You're going to have to help me. Because at that time, I had a hatred. I'm born again, that's all. How many knows your flesh don't get born again? You get born again on the inside. You are on the inside. You don't believe it? Go to a funeral and Aunt Susie's done died or Susie or whatever, and you go to the funeral. You can go up there and look at the house that Susie was in. But she's gone. She's not there anymore. That proves to me that wasn't really Susie and that body wasn't. That person, that being on the inside was that person. You know, because that person is gone now. Well, see, we got to realize that our inward man, and once we accept Jesus, then we are new creations. We are born of His Spirit. Our spirit man is renewed, but our flesh has been trained for however many years we've been here on earth by the world. We think like the world. We still act like the world. And but then we begin to what? Follow Jesus. We not learn about Him, but we begin to follow Jesus. When you start going to church, you're following Jesus. When you start reading your Bible, you're following Jesus. When that word begins to bring conviction to you, you're following Jesus. He's leading you. He's leading to you to this pruning place. He's leading you to a place that this is going to be cut off out of your life, praise God, and He's going to bring love in there. It's going to replace love, and then that is what bearing fruit is, and then it's going to bring freedom to you, freedom from whatever, and it don't have to be hatred or anything, whatever it is. And so anyways, I'm telling that story yesterday, And I don't even know really why. We don't have to know why. When God has put something on your heart and inspiring you to talk to somebody or share something with somebody, don't be timid and hold back, because God's word don't return void. And what we give testimony of our lives, that we testify to people or we tell them, Lord can help you. We're speaking as the oracles of God. And His word will not return void. Jesus said, they will hear me and then they will hear you. If you hear me, they will hear you and they will do. Well, anyways, the leader over there, he spoke up and he said, you know what? He said, you tell these stories. He said, you tell these stories. He said, and he said, you told the story. You wore the wife beaters. He said, he didn't call them wife beaters. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Muscle shirts. He said, and the Lord dealt with you. He said, at the time you was telling me that story, he said, I had some pride in some areas and I wore the wife beaters. And it's according to how I fell, which one I wore. He had different ones, I reckon. He said, you didn't even know. He said, but God, he don't wear wife beaters anymore. What I'm saying here is, the Word bore fruit in my life. And then I shared of that fruit, and he was in bondage himself. See, and because I don't need to be going showing off my body. You know, I just don't need to do it. It might seem funny, but I mean, that's what God dealt with me back yonder. And then I said, you know, I said, it's not about nobody, every man not wearing a wife beater. I said, it's not really about that. I said, but what is God dealing with you? I said, what is God dealing with your life? I said, it might not be a wife beater shirt, whatever the case may be. I said, but whatever it is, I said, whatever it is that God is dealing with me or you in the areas of our life, if we will comply to the Lord, I said, he'll bring freedom to us. I said, most of the time we don't do it because we don't understand, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, a lot of people get to leave their buggies out in the parking lot when they go and just shove it off into cars and different things or leave it sitting there, but God won't let me. He won't let me. I have to put, see, and what that is when I do what the Lord's telling me to do, put the buggy up, I'm bearing fruit. It's bringing freedom to me. That's why God asks you to do things that everybody else seems like they get by with. It seems like a lot of Christians, they can get by with holding bitterness. It looks like in the natural and just being angry if they want to and lashing out if they want to. But I'm not a satisfied man when I do those things. You know, I'm just not because I've been brought freedom. The Bible says, stand in the freedom wherewith Christ Jesus has made you free, and don't be yoked again with the yoke of bondage, the flesh. Don't let the flesh yoke you down, praise God. More fruit, more freedom. Oh, you know, give me that Mark 4:20. I'm not going to go through all of the... I mean, Teresa went through 6 months through teaching the sower sow with the Word. You know, and we're the sowers of the Word in our life. This whole parable leading up to this right here, in context of what Jesus was talking about, he said the sower sows the Word. Some fell on this ground and stony ground and all these different grounds. But he gets down to this and here, and he says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. How many knows our heart is like ground? He said, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word. Receive the Word, right? You got to hear and receive it, but then you've got to embrace it. They bring forth fruit. See, and the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, how do we bear fruit? How do we bear fruit, Lord? He said, you got to have a willing ear, willing to hear. He said, and you've got to receive it. I shut that Bible and I wouldn't receive it. I don't like that. I shut it. That's not receiving it. I heard it. I shut it. I didn't receive it. And there's no fruit coming out of it. But then when I embraced it, and I told those guys at the end of that, I said, the very ones that I hated, I said, I went to his house and I went and borrowed my daddy's 12-gauge shotgun and I made sure that I had a slug in there. I said, and I went to his house, and I knocked on the door and I pulled that shotgun and it was right in his face. And I give him a really stern warning. And I give him 3 seconds to shut that door, or the warning was over. And I had already figured out I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to shoot myself because I'm not going to prison. All my troubles will be over. I was telling them that. And I told them, I said, but when I embraced that Word, I said, this guy several years later got diagnosed with cancer. I said, and it was brought to my attention in my church that this guy that I'm talking about was diagnosed with cancer. I said, and I got to pray from a realness in my heart, release faith with that body that he would live and not die. He did not die with cancer. And I told them, I said, see, God took his word and transformed me to where I was part of saving his life instead of killing his life. I said, but the main thing is, whenever that was brought to my attention, I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you what the gospel does. I'm telling you what Jesus does. I'm telling you what the anointing does. I'm telling you what the power of the word does. It's not about a story. It's about freedom. And so I was telling that to those guys, knowing that what I'm saying will not return void, but it'll go out and do what God sent it out to do. Then I come in here and Monty, he's called to preach. And I'm like, are you shocked at that? Monty, what have you been doing for 2 years? He come in, he says, I'm just going to say it. I'm called to preach. I said, well, praise God. I'm like, you've been doing it. You're already doing it, man. I told him this morning, I said, well, you're all over the world already. See, you're in a church that's preaching the gospel all over the world. You're not in a church that's playing with the video game. We take it serious. We're preaching all over, have been since 2008. This gospel right here through this channel that God has set up is going into all the world, and we're bearing the fruit of it. See, whatever God tells you to do, you'll bear fruit if you'll step out and do it. I don't care what it is. Whatever God's telling you to do. Just like the Sunday school lesson this morning, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, and she's doing it at home. I mean, really. I'm like, good Lord, Jesus. I should have preached on this a long time ago, praise God. Got her to get all this a long time ago, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. I can't preach it like she does it. I can't do justice to the way she's bringing this stuff out. Why? Because it's God. Because God's revealing and manifesting to her. And I know she's not that smart. She's not been doing this. Y'all quiet. Well, I'm being changed too, ain't you? Ain't you being transformed? Ain't you being changed? Don't you have a desire to go deeper in God? Don't you have a desire for your relationships to be stronger? Yes, you do. That's what this Bible does. That's what the inward man does when we spend time with him, when we talk with him, and when we fellowship with him. A good heart. These are they which are sown on a good ground. Good heart. And I thought, well, you know, my heart wasn't too good back yonder. I don't know how that word was doing all of that stuff, man. But I sat back and I thought, a good heart. What's a good heart? So I go in there and get the Strong's Concordance. I'm wondering what it means. Good ground, good heart. He's talking about your heart here. And so I went up and looked it up, and one of the things it says, a willing heart. A heart that is bent on doing good. Not that you're perfect in the flesh. Shock me. See, this thing is not we deserve it. These things are the goodness of God is coming after me. The goodness of God is coming after you. The goodness of God is manifesting Himself in our life. It's a heart set to do the will of God. That's what God considers good ground. A heart that is set to do the will of God. I told Teresa yesterday, you know, I mean, I try to be a gentleman at home. Now, I failed at times, and I asked God to forgive me, and I'll ask Teresa to forgive. I've even had to go and ask Travis to forgive me that I made a bad example before him with anger, or, you know, dealing with a customer, you know, I went too far with it or something like that. I went to him and told him one time, not right then, but I went the next day or so, and I told him, I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, because that was not an example, great, good example of a father to you. He's up here 17, 18, 19, I don't know how old he was. But that's what he's talking about. A heart, a repentant heart. A heart that is ready to repent when we know we need to change. Not that we're just bent on doing wrong. I'm wide open yesterday and working on that building, and I came to the men's. I didn't want to come to the men's meeting, Monty, because I want to be over yonder doing my own thing. I want to be over yonder checking my cows. I got a building to build and blah, 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 and all of that. And I thought, well, I pastor three times. I preach. But see, my heart is to do the will of God. And I thought, that building will dry up and burn down for her. I won't miss Sunday school. I won't miss the men's meeting. It's not about Monty. This is the will of God for me. It's the will of God for this church and my heart. See, that's what he's talking about. A heart that is set to do the will of God. Whatever you know to be the will of God, this is what's going to bear fruit in your life. Praise God. But good ground is a willing heart. Did you know a willing heart gives you a hearing ear to hear the Lord? It opens you up to hear more from God. When I'm willing to be a good father, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I don't know how to be a husband. Lord, I don't know. I know how my daddy was. I know how my brothers are. I know how these people are and all of that, Lord. But I want to know how you want me to be a husband. I want to know biblically how to be a husband. Well, the first scripture he sent me to that I didn't like was, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. And God told me, he said, I want you to be that kind of husband. And I thought, she'll take advantage of me. If I do all of this right, things begin to go through my head, I need to go to her and tell her I'm going to buy a boat instead of just buying a boat. Come on, somebody. I'm the man of the house. You don't tell me what to do. She was explaining what I used to be. You married me. I laid my life down for you. I took you on, and I go to work for you, and you get to sit home and watch TV and suck up air conditioning. You don't even work. You get to sleep and snore till dinner, and I'm out there busting it from 5 to 5. Well, the Lord told me one day, he said, you know what? He said, you don't own her, I do. I thought, well, that ring says I do. It's recorded at the courthouse. The Lord told me, he said, she left her life for you. She chose to go live her life with you. And I thought, oh, man. And I thought, well, who wouldn't? Pride, Johnny. I thought, well, who wouldn't want me, man? She'd be glad, And so when the Lord brought that scripture to me, see, what is he doing? God is wanting to bear fruit in my life. He's wanting me to be free. He's wanting me to be free, see? And I would go around and I would hear men at churches and different ones, and they'd call her my other half, or my old lady or something down those lines, that the world just says. They don't think nothing. I don't really think about it, really degrading or anything, but it's the world's way. And so the Lord said, she's a daughter of mine. And I thought, oh, man. He began to show me these little things through the Word of God. Then, I got up one morning and I was headed out to work and she's still asleep. I figured a woman ought to get up and cook breakfast. She ain't got a job. Pack my lunch. Have supper ready and I'll eat it when I want to. And so I get up and I go in there and I open the closet, I open the cabinet up and there was a box of brownies and there was only one left. And my thinking was, well, she's still snoring. I had to get up. I got to go down yonder and work from 7 to 5 or whatever, you know. And I could hear that scripture. There comes the Holy Spirit to you. Husband, love your wife as Christ so loved. If you think of that at 5:30 in the morning, when you're fixing to get a brownie, because you're going to work and that's going to be your... Know that Jesus is in there with you. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, she can go to the store and buy some or something, you know, man. I don't got no money. I'm on a budget, man. And I didn't give my budget at the jail there on Sunday after church. They robbing me at jail. Them cunns are done cunning me, boy. And I'm going to work all week, my $10, you know. But anyways, I heard that scripture and I said, glory to God, that's what it means. That's what it means, ain't it, Lord? It's not this big thing, you know. You know what? I left the brownie in there. I put her first. I didn't suffer, but you could call it that. I did without, you know. But you know what? I don't do without today. Praise God. You know, in those little things, God begins. So whatever God is bringing to you, y'all young folk, I know He's going to bring conviction. And when you're afraid or ashamed to pray over your food at the table because all the peers are there. Come on, somebody. Y'all young folk, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be afraid to lose friends. It might separate you from some people. But you know, it won't. The Bible says that Jesus is your friend that sticks closer than a brother. You would rather have Him sitting at your table with you than have half of your classmates. Praise God. See, that's bearing fruit. We're all supposed to bear fruit. We're going to bear fruit. You know, I looked at bearing fruit for a long time. It's bad. I mean, hard. But bearing fruit's not hard. I chose to love my wife over a brownie. And that's when it began. And then, you know, before long, I mean, even after I got saved, I would look to see how many miles is on that vehicle when I started out to work. I knew tire tracks. I knew everybody that I knew. I knew what they had, Wranglers or Coopers or, you know. I knew how far it was to grandmother's. I knew how far it was. I'd come in and I'd check that mileage again. And if she was supposed to go anywhere and come back, you know, well, if it was over, I knew how far it was. I done checked it out. See how much bondage that was? Now, this is 30 years ago. And so she couldn't talk to nobody while I'm gone. No, see, God wanted to bear fruit that she could be free, not only just me. He wanted her to be free, to be Teresa, and live her life and be happy and be herself. And now, you know, like she knows now, and I mean learning, God teaching, she's not independent of me, you know. But I don't feel like she's got her money and I got mine. She does, but I don't feel that way. I feel like if we need to come together right quick, but God, we're one. We'll come together and we'll bust it. Whatever we need to do together, we've always did it together. And God's brought us together and God's brought y'all together and God will bring y'all together, people together, if that's what you desire. But you need to be one with the Lord. I can't be one with Teresa if I'm not one with the Lord. He's the one that makes us be one with one another and to be able to love one another, praise God. But He was wanting me to bear fruit. He said that bears fruit some 30, 60, and 100. And I was thinking, Monty was doing men's meeting, and it was good. And he was talking about, you know, people, they're not going to believe lest they see, you know, and everything, and see the Lord or whatever, you know. And I thought about the people in Psalm 78, the children of Israel, you know, and he was talking about, I thought about this, you know, seeing is not won't cause you to believe, seeing miracles. I mean, it can cause you to turn to the Lord and all that, but that's not how faith comes. See, the children of Israel, and I brought it up in the theme, I was sitting back there and it just come up, you know, and I shared it, but you know, in they saw, the children of Israel saw miracles. The Red Sea rolled back, and then the enemy crushed and got out there, and I mean God leading them to the promised land. And you know what? They just would chose not to believe it. The Bible says in Psalm 78, they turned back in their hearts and limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't go back and cross the Red Sea. They were still going toward the promised land. But in their hearts, they were limiting God. They angered Him out there. They grieved Him and angered Him out there. But you know what? Monty was talking about seeing before you believe it. See, I believed that I was supposed to love my wife as Christ, and I didn't have a lick of evidence for a pretty good while that she could care less. But see, it's just like she said this morning, it's not about me changing her and her changing me. It's about letting the Lord change me whether anybody else changes or not. It's about me bearing fruit and having the freedom that's in Christ Jesus, whether anybody else experiences it or not. But then share it, you know, where that if somebody does want it, they will. Give me John 15, please, Ben. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Can't do this without Jesus. About that union with him, about that praying, that reading your Bible, that going to church, that's what that fellowship with him is. He said, and in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire that they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I thought about, you know, I thought about that scripture there where it says that a branch, it withers and it's cast in the fire and burned. And I thought, what does that mean? You know, what you talking about, Lord? And I could just see my fruit trees and my tomatoes and gardening and all of that stuff, you know, and Teresa... I mean, me and her could not go prune my fruit trees, our fruit trees, to begin with. She would make me so mad because she wanted to wait till they all bloomed out. And every bloom is a fruit to me. And I mean, she cuts these things down to the nub. And all of these flowers, Aubrey cries when I burn them because she wants to keep all the flowers, the blooms, you know. First year she did. And so I'm like, well, I'm cutting the fruit off. And she's like, she finally just quit trying to help me there at 1 year. I'm not doing it no more. I'd hurt her feelings and all that stuff, you know, because I'd want to cut it down this far and she'd want to go that far. I'm the one cutting it, so I got to listen to her down there. And so I would a few, you know, and all that. And she would say, but it's going to cause it to have better fruit. She'd say, if you don't cut them off, well, then it's going to have too much fruit on it, and it's going to break the tree down. You know? And so finally, I worked on that for a couple of years. You know? But what I'm saying is, I knew myself that I need to go and prune those trees where their fruit will be better. They'll be bigger. They'll be juicier. They'll, you know? And he's talking about pruning right here. Well, you know what? Some of the limbs die on my trees and different things, you know. I don't just leave them. I cut them off. I cut them off. They're not bearing any fruit. I cut them off. I started thinking about that, and he said, when you made the choice to love your enemies. He said, you were cutting and pruning. He said, you were allowing me to prune you. You were allowing me to cut that dead stuff out of your life. That stuff that was hindering Jesus, hindering me. He said it would have caused unbelief and you would have limited me like they did in the wilderness. You would have hindered me from doing things in your life that I've done. He said, you allowed me to, he said, you chose. See, us men, we choose to be the leader of our house. We choose to pray and fast and find out major decisions and be confident that we're going to lead our family not in destruction, but in the direction that will cause stability. A woman wants to feel stable by the man. She don't want to feel unstable, unsecure. Okay, I'm not coming home. I might mess around on her because of my wishy-washy ways and stuff. She wants somebody that she a woman wants to feel secure and sound. So does the man. That man likes to be praised. He likes for the wife to praise him. Y'all wives are like, oh my God, have I got to jump up and down and praise him? Well, get you a palm tree. Hey, come on in there, King. Told Teresa here a while back, I said, call me Lord. She said, I'm not calling you Lord. I said, well, Sarah did. Called Abraham Lord. Now I was just being funny with her. Praise the Lord. But you know what? The man wants to feel like you ain't going to mess around on him. He wants to feel stable himself. And when I come home and she's got praise and worship on and she ain't griping and complaining and got the list out 14 pages long of them to-do lists that I've got after I'd have put in 18 hours. You know? And made me feel good the other day. Now, I jerked half the building down with my backhoe and had got to fix it back and all that stuff. And that I'm building Johnny. I mean, I stabilized it and forgot I stabilized it and pulled the legs out and all kind of stuff. You know? She didn't come in there, what's wrong with you, you idiot? Because I thought to myself, if she gets me on this, black God, I'll tie the chain to that and I'll drag it down and I'll push it out yonder in the burn pile. I'll burn it and I will not have a problem anymore. That's not godly. That's devilish thoughts, you know. Because you know what that would cause me to do? That would cause me to shatter both of our dreams. And so, you know, I heard her telling my son, she said, well, you know, she said, I'm very thankful your dad making my dream come true. You know, and I'm very thankful, you know, I ain't had this what I wanted or this what I wanted or that what I wanted. Named all the way from the pool, man. I mean, ain't none of it like she wanted. She said, but you know what, praise God? He's did the best he can, and I couldn't ask for nothing no better. You know what? It made me want to get up and say, baby, is there anything else you want me to be on? That's what I'm talking about. She made me feel good because I seen the hump in the thing, and I wasn't tearing it back down fixing it. I done worked 8 hours on that. Little dip in my wall going around through there, Johnny. You can sit on the back porch and see it. I couldn't see it up there when it's dipping. But she waits till the next day till I'm done 8 hours later. You know, I mean all that. But you know what? That made me feel good. That made me want to bear fruit. Every one of us need to encourage and praise one another at times. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. I've got Aiden so convinced that he's a professional at everything. I mean, he's losing and he's a professional. I mean, that's what I tell him. I say, boy, you're a professional. You're a professional driver. You're professional this. You're professional. He's just now getting started. He's 6. So he's in there and we're playing checkers and I have to move and he jumps me and what was that name he called me? Scrooge. He's sitting there and he says, "Oh, you're not going to beat me, you little Scrooge." And I'm like, "What? What'd you just say?" He said, "I said you're not going to beat me, you little Scrooge." And I'm like, "He got that off of SpongeBob. I'm going to cut SpongeBob off, getting all that bad language going on up in here. Praise God." And I said, "No." I said, "Oh, yes, Papa, oh, yeah." He said, "Nope." He said, "I am a professional." I said, "Yes, you are, but you're fixing to get beat by Papa." You know, praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is, praise him, you know, now let him know, you know, no, you're not. You're good here. You real good. You think good, but I'm fixing to smoke you. And I did. I wore him out. You ready for another game? Nah, not right now, Papa. I got to take a bath. I'm like, okay, then, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know? But you know what? That's bearing fruit to him. That's causing him to bear fruit. I mean, everything he does, he's a professional now. He thinks that way. You know why? I wanted him to think that way. I don't want him to think you can't do nothing. You're a nobody. I wanted to praise him. I've been praising him at 5 and 6 years old. And little Aubrey, too. Why? Because I like praise myself. You're doing a good job. I like it when I hear it work, you know, because I'm doing my work as unto the Lord, see. And then when people praise me, that tells me that that's giving me the proof of the fruit. Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord, so now I'm yielding to the Lord. I'm wanting the Lord involved. And then when that stuff happens, the Bible says, let a man praise you. Not yourself. Let another man's mouth or words praise you, and that not of yourself, praise God. Well, you know, I thought about my tomato plants. You might think I'm just talking about a natural garden. You might this morning be talking, don't let it go over your head. It's not the big foxes that spoils the vine. It's the little things. It's the little things in our life that causes us to cut off the vine. You know? And so I thought about I didn't really know about fruit trees too much, about peach trees, but Teresa looked into it, and because she likes them Alberta peaches, and they're real good peaches, praise God. Well, you know what? She got out there and she said, "Cut that limb off, it's a sucker." And I thought, they got suckers too, you know. And I thought this morning, you know, that sucker of the devil. Walking about like a roaring lion, seeking that sucker. You know what those suckers do? They take away from the fruit up there. They take away, they'll cause the fruit up there on up the vine not to be as strong. Well, I knew that about tomatoes. At the very bottom, if you'll ever grow a tomato, there'll another one come out right above the ground, and it'll... That thing will come out and it'll make leaf, but it's a sucker. That sucker needs to be took off of there because it's taken away from the fruit up here. And then all through the growth of that tree, of that tomato plant, suckers will come up at different places. It's where your limbs come out. Your leaf come out, right where the leaf comes out, there will be one come out right there. And those are called suckers. And they will take away the nutrients and the plumpness of the fruit that's on that vine. But you know, you can leave those suckers and they'll make tomatoes. They'll produce tomatoes, but they won't be huge tomatoes. They'll just be tomatoes that took away from up here and took that size away from them. So I'm continually all year, you know, taking those suckers off. And then one year, I've watched a video where you could take the sucker and put it in the dirt and keep it watered, and it would make another tomato plant. And I thought, well, you can use that sucker of the devil. The Bible says he works all things together for the good. So let that sucker go ahead. Let that sucker go ahead and try to fool you. Let him go ahead and try his schemes and traps. Because the Bible says that we're not ignorant of that sucker. We're not ignorant of what he's doing. I know that he would love for me to get a divorce. He would love for me to stay in strife with my wife to the point to where I'm sick of it. He would like for us to argue till it's so bad that I'd just soon be out of there. Teresa told me yesterday she's reading the Proverbs 31 woman, and she's putting this stuff into action. She's not just coming here preaching. She's putting this into action. Me and her believe that if we're going to have the fruit of God, if we're going to have the freedom from God in our marriage or finance, whatever it is, whatever area it is, that we got to be embracers and doers. We got to hear it, we got to receive it, and we got to put it into action. That's the book of James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. I've knew people that know to love their wives and honor their wives. You know, we can quote you the scripture and go right off and talk like she's nobody. That tells me you have a knowledge of that word, but you've never put that word into practice. That tells me you have a form of godliness in that area, but you deny the power. Well, you know, I mean, whether it's finance, whatever it is, but anyways, you know, so I thought about that, and I thought about that. The devil's just a sucker, man. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to come down here, and he wants to keep things on our mind and choke out the word of God. The bills on your mind all week, you know, trouble your wife, your husband, your friends, everybody trouble. Nobody know. Everybody going through. Hey, you know, and get you to believing that God can't do nothing for you where He can't. See, the Bible says faith is the substance of the things hoped for, and it is the evidence of the things you cannot see. See, I had faith because the Word said, because God said, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And I had faith. Faith come up on the inside of me, not some big great thing, but just the ability to do it came up. And then when I exercised it, grace came in, which gave me the ability. And I can tell you right now, praise God, today I am one thankful man that I yielded to the Word of God, and I'm sure I can go deeper in it and make it better and improve on my marriage, praise God. But I praise God today, I am 38 years into this marriage that all that I wanted when I got saved was to have a good marriage. And today, 38 years later, now, I have had, I don't know how many opportunities to divorce her. And probably in the world's eyes would be justified. I've had people in my own family say, I don't know how you put up with her. And I would always come back and say, I got God's grace. I can't live with her without Jesus. We proved that. But we got Him. And the proof is 38 years later, we still standing, yeah. See, I used to be afraid some hunk was going to drive through with his convertible top down, his hair blowing out the back all the way to the tailgate, you know, back there, praise God, get her attention, and she's just got an old mundane married life, and she could be having fun. He looks like a roaster. See, I used to be afraid that somebody was gonna, because I'm not a real intimate guy, you know. I mean, just lay in my lap all the time, breathe in my ear and all of that, you know. I mean, that's good if you're at the movies, but we're living life, we're married, you know. And so I used to be intimidated. Then when I found out who I was, when I found out that I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus Christ, it caused me to stand up. On the inside, I thought, ooh, she just don't know what she's got. See, y'all men ought to feel that way. Glory to God. She's got somebody that'll be there for her. She's got somebody that loves God. She's got somebody that loves God's Word. She's got somebody that would lay his life down for her. She's got somebody that'll buy her a better car than he's got. She got somebody gonna give her a stable house. So let that little hunk, that little roaster, roast right on by. Ooh, don't you worry, guy. Hallelujah. The Bible says if God be for you, who that sucker can't get her attention if you're everything she needs. Y'all quiet. I'm everything my baby needs. Praise God. Now she wants me to do more and do things her way. And I mean, you know, I mean, when when we don't, she don't get it her way and I don't get it my way, we try to just walk both ways. Go that way and y'all go, we'll meet back around yonder in a couple hours. Let it calm down. Let it cool down. Don't say things you don't mean. I had to apologize. I come unglued on her yesterday over an incident. She's stopping my progress to me. I do not like that. I like to win. I like to get it done. I don't like backing up. I'm like a bulldog, man. I get on a project, I'm going after it, and I'm going to get it done. And I don't want it to take 5 years. So she comes in. I've been thinking. I'm like, oh, my God. How many times you think about this? After I nearly got it done, you think about changing it. You know? Well, I come unglued, you know, and she said, I don't know what the problem is. I said, it's you. I said, you're the problem. Hurt her feelings, all that, you know. Shut his door, and I said, I'm tell you what. I said, I won't move out. I'll never touch it again. And I go get in my gator, and I slam all my tools in there. You know, I'm in the flesh. I slam all of my tools in there, and I go put them up, but God, and I won't. I thought, I won't, Lord, touch that again. He said, what? I said, well, I just won't talk to him about it. Some things I just don't want to talk to God right now about that. Why would I not want to talk about God? Talk to God about that, see? Yes, right. You know, don't carry this to the Lord like he don't know. He knows our thoughts from afar, man. I mean, he's there with us. He's in it. He knows everything. So, you know, I go on, you know, and I wasn't really mad. I'm just made up my mind. You know, I'm not mad at her really or nothing like that. I mean, I'm like, you're stopping me. You know, well, this morning I got up and I told her, I said, I'm sorry that I did what I did, you know. And I don't believe I need to be apologizing, Monty. But the Bible says for me to love my wife as Christ so loved the church, right? And so I told her, I said, well, the way she's wanting to do it, it'd take a month. You know, probably take a month to get it where I can do, get back where I'm at. It's kind of like going in reverse, further away from your dream. See, you might feel like your dream is way far off, but it's really not. Is it 12:30? I didn't realize it. Travis been in front of the clock. It's his fault. Praise God. So anyways, I want to encourage you. I won't keep you a long time. But the more fruit that we bear, the freer we get. The more fruit that we bear, the freer we get. So don't let things clog things up in your life. Praise God. And I told Teresa, I said, whatever you want this morning, you know, whatever you want, however you want to do that, that's the way we'll do it. We'll do it however you want to do it. Because in the end, Johnny, it don't matter about that stupid building. That building's deteriorating while I'm putting it up. Right? But the kingdom is eternal. Things of God are eternal in our life, praise God. So I want to encourage you. You know, allow the Lord. Whatever the Lord's dealing with you with, just embrace it, you know, and let him do what he wants to do. See, I didn't have to show myself to be a man, you know, with this natural world stuff, long hair, that's what I thought, parachute breeches, stuff like that. She got to have somebody slick, you know. But you know what? She realizes she got slick right here. I love Jesus, and so are you, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads.